And that's how it is with us. We must have the presence of the Lord in our lives, in our time of worship. Number 24, shine, Jesus, shine. Good morning. Good morning, and a happy Labor Day weekend to all that are here and some still coming in. We're about a minute early, I suppose, on the bell, but better early than late, right? That's what I always say. So welcome to all of you. Welcome to some of the family here and maybe more coming with Lee and Mary Heckenleibel for Grace's baptism today. Very exciting day in their lives for sure. So we'll look forward to having her baptism in the service this morning. A few announcements I need to go over as we continue on with our worship service. Next Sunday, hopefully most of you know this by now, but it is Sunday school kickoff, and away we go with our Christian education year in the church. So that means Sunday school starts at 9:30. Church, praise music, 10:15, and 10:30 on with the worship service. And we do have potluck dinner following the service. Some years we've had, like last year, we had a couple that donated all the pulled pork for the dinner. That was last year. This year, got to bring every part of the meal, okay? and bring extra and plenty so we have more than enough for our visitors. It will be a fun day. Confirmation classes start this Wednesday. School gets out at noon this Wednesday, so therefore the first group, 6th and 7th graders, they'll come right after school. The 8th graders, they won't come until 4:30, as it says there in the bulletin. Let me see. I have care center service this afternoon at 2 o'clock. For any that would like to join us, you're always welcome to come. With Sunday school starting, I want to mention this. Next Sunday, we have really actually 3 adult classes now, so there's options available. Take advantage of them. The young adult class, as you can see, they're going to be going with this DVD-led series, Wide Angle, Framing Your World View. It's important that we have a biblical worldview, and we know what that means. The older adult class, they're working through the Gospel of Luke, verse by verse. There's a women's group that's going to be doing a DVD-led series there on Philippians. You see that. And then, of course, we have classes for high school all the way down. Next Sunday as well, a couple things happening. Healing Hope. We had the couple here for our Mission Fest 2 or 3 years ago. Two? Remember? Anyway, they're over at Alcester. They have that ministry to people who have lost a child, which is very painful. It's a ministry where they bring the couples there and for a week or whatever time it is to help them work through the pain involved. So they are up and running now, and that's in the bulletin. Next Sunday from 4 to 6 is their ribbon-cutting ceremony, open house. So I wish I could go, but I know I won't be able to, but it'll be a great time to celebrate with them. Lastly, I want to just mention the month of September is our church's turn to help the residents on Thursday afternoons at the care center to play bingo. Men and women. Doesn't just have to be the women, okay? It's a time to do that. It's a time just to fellowship with them and visit with them. Some need help and some don't, but they always enjoy seeing you there. So that's every Thursday in September, 2 o'clock. At the care center. Please read the rest of the announcements as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you. We lift our hearts before you, Lord God, in worship. Father, we think of the time when Jesus was with that woman at the well, and they were talking about worship, and Lord Jesus, you said that our God and our Father desires ones who will worship in spirit and in truth. And that's our desire, the desire of our hearts. So with the help of the Spirit of God, please help us in that way today. We have so much to thank you for your goodness, your greatness, your power, your majesty. And it is at the name of Jesus that we bow and serve and worship. So we thank you for moving among us in a mighty way this morning, by your Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Our opening hymn will be number 225 in the hymnal. The words will also be on the screen, whichever way you prefer. But let's stand together as we sing 225. please take a moment and greet those around you before you're seated this morning. Good morning. Welcome. Is this the one that had the surgery?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell me his first name again.
Isaac.
We've been praying for him. Yeah. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Are you Mary's sister?
I am.
Okay. I know. I know. What? Good morning. Good morning. Welcome. Good to have you. We'll have you can be seated now. We'll have our time of joys and concerns, and certainly, as I said at the beginning, a great joy to have family and friends here with Lee and Mary. And up front here is this little guy we've been praying for. He had open heart surgery a month ago. Isaac, 6 weeks ago. And so Mary's sister is here, and her husband, and I forget where you actually live. Twin Cities? Fargo. Okay, so welcome, and welcome to the rest of the family here too. But praise the Lord, that's exciting. Some other things I have here to go over. Let me see. Certainly prayers for our Sunday school kickoff, as I mentioned, is next Sunday morning. Peg Wallach, she's scheduled to have hip replacement surgery this Friday, September 6th. I want to mention Louis Fierst. He's going to have another MRI this Wednesday. The left leg is just sort of dead. He can do nothing with it, not lift it or anything, and it's been moving up the body, I guess is how I would explain it. So they, as of yet, haven't been able to figure out what's going on, so they're going to do another MRI this Wednesday. So pray for Louie and Judy. Also, Jerry Nuss, as he's going to start some chemo, not this week, but maybe the next. They'll find out more this week, and sounds like probably six rounds of it. So we want to pray for him and Joanne, both. Lee and Pat Palmerville's daughter-in-law, Tammy, is having jaw surgery this Thursday. Is she the one that works at the care center? Oh, that's your granddaughter. Okay. So their daughter-in-law, Tammy, jaw surgery this Thursday, and their granddaughter, Vanessa, she has thyroid cancer, and she's having surgery this Thursday as well. So a lot going on there with them. Okay. Anything else? Over here, Teresa. Is this a special birthday too, or we're not? Okay. Mark Anderson. Right. Mark Anderson's birthday is this Wednesday. One more year to Medicare. Praise the Lord. Okay, that says it. Anybody else over here? Okay. Over on this side, Jay. Yeah, Jay and Cheryl Herbolt had their 34th wedding anniversary on Friday. Happy anniversary to you guys. That's great. Yeah, Marilee.
My prayers for Deborah Hope, for Sharon's daughter.
Okay.
She's been diagnosed with breast cancer, and she started chemo last week.
Oh, okay. Sorry to hear that. Prayers for Deborah Hauk. This is Verlin and Sharon's daughter. She lives in Washington State. She was diagnosed with breast cancer and started chemo this last week. Okay, Deborah Hauk. I think Jim Christensen had a birthday on Friday too, so happy birthday, Jim. Okay. Oh, that's right, and Skylar's birthday was Wednesday. Are you four? Yeah, wow, happy birthday to Skylar. Okay, let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for joys, birthdays, anniversaries. They are always so exciting, and family and friends visiting for a special occasion as the baptism of grace. We just rejoice that they can all be here as we celebrate with them, as we bring grace unto you in thanksgiving. Lord, for Deborah Houck with the cancer and the started chemo last week, we pray for her. We pray for Jerry as he starts chemo here coming up in the next week or so. All these others listed, Lord, in various stages of that, we pray over them too, and thank you for your healing hand and your power to be mightily at work within them. We thank you for little Isaac here that we actually get to meet today with the open heart surgery that happened just 6 weeks ago. It's incredible how well he's doing, and thank you for blessing him and his family. Lord, we lift up Peg Wallach with her hip replacement surgery scheduled this Friday. We pray for Tammy Palmerville with the jaw surgery on Thursday, and Vanessa Palmerville with thyroid cancer surgery on Thursday as well. Lord, there's a lot going on this week, but you know it all, and you know every detail of each of these individuals and their lives. So thank you for going before and guiding the surgeon's hands, and thank you for the wisdom that you have given to medical science to do these procedures. Lord, we pray for Louie and Judy Fierst, and just lift them up to you, Father. They've been having a lot going on, both of them, and thank you for strengthening their lives each and every day. Thank you for Curtis Zabe and your continued healing power in him, and Belva Heckenleibel, Lord, and so many others. On this Labor Day weekend, Father, we thank you for the jobs that we have, for the strength and health to be able to even go to work. It's a wonderful blessing, and we give you all the praise for it. And thank you for your goodness in these ways. Lord, for our nation, we pray for our troops as they serve at home, as they serve abroad. Keep them safe. Lord, always we pray for our military advisors, for our president and vice president, congressmen and women. We lift them up to you. Guide them, Lord, by your Spirit for the affairs of this nation. And as this nation, we continually ask for a mighty outpouring of your Spirit, a turning to you, to your word, a revival we need. And we thank you for what you're doing behind the scenes that we don't even see, Lord. For our local region here, Lord, the whole ag situation, the whole ag economy, which affects every other business around, Lord, we're asking for some breakthroughs, some improvements, and we trust you. You are the faithful one, and you are our provider, and you are the one who can make a way where there seems to be no way. Thank you for all of these things, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to, before I read the scripture for the offering, I just had a thought there while I was praying that I didn't mention. On Friday evening, Ann and I saw this movie, Overcomer. It's in Sioux Falls. It's very, very good. I don't know, hopefully it'll come to Vyberg or Yankton here, but if you get a chance, you need to see it. It comes from Fireproof, Courageous, War Room, that same group that's produced those. So very powerful. On that note, Philippians 4, 12 and 13 says, Paul said, I know how to be abased, that means without, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We know that verse, don't we? Let's receive our offering this morning. Thank you. you, Father. We do praise you. We praise you with our giving, these offerings, these tithes that we bring into your storehouse so that we can do just as the song was played, that we can tell the story of you, Jesus, and your love and the great plan of redemption, of why you came to this earth to take our place, to become sin for us, who knew you, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So thank you, Lord, for your blessings in so many, many ways, blessings of family and children and loved ones. We praise you with all of our hearts in Jesus' name. And Father, we confess our faith now together through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Lee and Mary, if you want to come with Skylar and Grace for the baptism. He's beautiful. Hi, Skylar. We're excited to be here today. I sort of told the story last Sunday of Grace's miracle. She is a little miracle baby. I won't go into it all now, but how should I say? Mary had miscarried, and the doctors said there'd be no way to conceive again for at least 3 months, and 3 weeks later, she did, and even up to the point of delivery, the doctors said that this should have never happened. God knows best, doesn't he? Yes, so this is Lee and Mary Heckenleibel, and they live in Freeman, and Skylar just turned 4 on Friday, so and Grace is 5 months, right? I'm going to read Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 13. It says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come unto me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. And so we are here today for Grace's baptism. This is not her salvation by any means. That has to come later when she's able to understand what that means. So I have 4 questions I'm going to ask. These are vows. We went over these as we met last week. Do you desire to have your child baptized today? And do you understand that through this sacrament of baptism that we are actually dedicating Grace unto the Lord? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
And will you instruct and encourage her to renounce the powers of evil? And will you teach her the word of God so that she may be led to profess Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior? If so, answer, we do. Third, do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciples, to follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
And fourth, thank you. Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to grow with this child in the Christian faith, to help her to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ by celebrating Christ's presence, by furthering his mission in all the world, and by offering the nurture of the Christian church so that she may affirm her baptism? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
There you go. There'll be on the screen here a response, I think. Okay, yep, I'll read the first part. The Bible instructs us to diligently teach God's word to our children. Do you who witness and celebrate this sacrament promise your love and care to this precious child about to be dedicated to the Lord through baptism as she grows in her knowledge of Christ?
We promise our love, support, and care to Grace Rudy Hagenbible and to her parents. We will do our part in making sure that this will be a church where she can be trained in God's word and in his ways.
Thank you. And Mark Guthmiller is going to give a pledge from the Christian Education Committee. Oh, we don't have a microphone, huh? Let's see. Maybe you want to step down to that one there. Okay, so they can hear. How about just use this one?
As a representative of the Christian Education Committee, we pledge to provide an environment within this local church where Grace can be taught the Word of God, where she can grow up spiritually, and where she can begin to develop a personal and intimate relationship with God as her Heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. We would like to present Grace and her family with this baptism candle as a remembrance of this special day. We also have a little children's first Bible to give to Grace in hopes that her love for God's Word will begin at an early age.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Okay, Lee's going to hold her. Okay. You're going to watch, Skylar? You're going to watch? We're going to baptize your sister. Okay. Yeah, what is that, huh? Grace, Ruby, Heckenleibel, as we are here today to dedicate you to the Lord through this sacrament of water baptism, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. I'll take her if she'll come to me. Okay. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful little girl that you have blessed Lee and Mary with. Lord Jesus, such a miracle, a true miracle. And here we are, baptizing her, bringing her to you in thanksgiving and praise and adoration for what the doctors had said could never be. But we know, Lord, that you have the final say. And so her name is Grace. And let her be filled with your grace as she shines to all who see her such a beautiful smile. I pray the blood of Jesus Christ over her and the family. Keep her safe, Lord. Give your angels charge over her in all of her ways. Lord, thank you for how she's developed so much this far, and we pray that every cell and muscle and tissue and organ will just grow according to your will and plan, Father, and that she will have a great love for you. I thank you for Lee and Mary and Skylar as her parents and as her brother, that you bless this home. Guide them as they endeavor to bring these children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Let their home be filled with your presence and your joy and your peace each and every day, and keep them safe. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing. We're going to sing to your sister. Sing, Jesus Loves You.
Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are deep.
go. Congratulations. Yep, you can be seated. And if the children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time, come on down on the steps here. I know we have a lot missing today for the Labor Day weekend, Skyler. I'm sure.
Skyler, sit down.
Yep, you can come, Skyler. You guys can come and sit on the steps there. Yep, the other kids are coming.
A whole bunch of them up here, though. A lot of visitors. Yeah. Well, good morning, boys and girls. Good morning. How are you all today? Good. Well, today, Pastor Mike's going to be talking about Psalms 128, and in that, it talks about respecting God and being obedient. Now, do you know what that word means, obedient? Who knows? What does it mean when you're obedient? To respect them, yes. Whoa. And does it mean to listen to what they say? It does, doesn't it? It does. And so I have been working on this. This is Bob in here. I don't know if you can see him. He's at the top, but you'll see him in a few minutes. Well, I have been working and working on teaching Bob obedience, okay? So we're going to see now if it worked with me teaching him obedience, all right? Ready, Bob? Stay at the top. Is he at the top?
Yep.
Can you see him? It's good. Okay. Good job, Bob. Okay, Bob, go to the bottom. Did you see it? Did Bob go to the bottom? Yeah, he did. Good job. Go up, Bob. Okay, there he goes. Okay, Bob, these over here need to see it. So, Bob, are you listening? Good. Go to the bottom. Ooh, did he go? Is he being obedient? Is he listening? Okay, let's see how smart he is. Okay, Bob, I want you to go halfway up. Stop. Whoop, go down. Good. Okay, go up again. Let's try that again, Bob. Stop. Whoop. He's still learning on this obedience thing, and that's how it is with us, too. Okay, Bob, there you go. Stop. Look at that. Isn't that pretty good? Okay, Bob, let's see if you can follow my finger. Bob, go down. All the way down. Whoop, he did, didn't he? Did Bob do good? Bob did really good, Bob. Go ahead, go to the top now, Bob. All right, now Bob is used to listening to my voice because I'm the one who has been teaching him obedience. So if somebody else tells him to do something, I don't know that he'll do it or not. Let's see, Joanne is way up there. I see here. Joanne, tell Bob to go down. Don't do it. Don't do it. Tell him to go down. Go down, she said. Oh, he's not listening to her. One more time, louder, Joanne. Go down, Bob. Did he go down? No, you know why? Because I'm the one that's been teaching him, and I'm teaching him to learn my voice. And guess what? That is what reminds us about God. You know, boys and girls, there are lots of verses talking about children being obedient to God and about all of us being obedient. In Isaiah, it tells us that if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. Do you guys like to eat? Do you like the best? Yeah, me too. Well, if we're obedient, God's promised that. In Proverbs 1, 8 and 9, it says, listen, my sons and my daughters, to your father's instruction, your dad's. And don't forsake your mother's teaching. That means listen to your mom too. They will be a garland of grace to your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Beautiful. If we do that, right? And then in Colossians 3, 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Do we want to please the Lord? We do, so we want to be obedient to him. And then Jesus tells us in John 14, 15, if you love me, so if we love Jesus, we will obey what he commands. So our job is to obey our parents and obey our teachers and those. And when we do that, we will be blessed. And see, if you want to know what you're supposed to do to obey, like what things you're supposed to obey, you need to get into the Word of God and read the Word of God, and then you'll know what it says. And then when your friend comes or somebody comes and says, hey, I want you to be bad and do that, are you going to listen to him? Nope. You're going to be like Bob. You're not going to listen because you know the truth and you know what you're supposed to do. So who are we going to obey? Yeah. Our parents, God, our teachers, those that are over us that God has put there, okay? And then we will be blessed. You want to be blessed? Yes, I do too. So let's remember that. Thank you, Pastor Mike, for helping us, and thank you, Bob and Joanne. Let's pray, okay? And then you can get your papers. God, we just thank you that you've told us all the things we need to do right in your word. And when we read your word, we hear your voice speaking to us. Thank you for helping us to be obedient, Holy Spirit, to those around us, to those that you've put over us, and to you because we love you. Bless these boys and girls wherever they go this week, to school, to daycare, to preschool, wherever they are, help them to be a blessing and to be obeying those. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. You can get your paper now.
Oops, excuse me. We'll sing number 193, God is so good. Let's bow our heads in prayer again, please. Father, thank you for your goodness, for your patience with us each and every day. You are long-suffering, you tell us in your word. Your mercies are new every morning, and certainly we need that every day. We thank you for your word that is alive, living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Help us, Lord, to follow, to walk in your ways, to follow your word, to set our hearts and minds now upon your word as it is read and spoken about. Lord, I ask for you to speak through me to those gathered here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 128 is where we are at today. For those visiting, this summer we've been working through what we call the Psalms of Ascent. And there are 15 of them. They start in Psalm 120 and go to Psalm 134, all right in a row. Psalms that the people of Israel sang as they were going up to Jerusalem for the various feasts. Psalms, songs they sang as they came out of exile and many other times. And so we're working through this one by one. We're on Psalm 128 today. Let's read that. There we go. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Amen. So as we're working through this, I'm just going to go back a couple psalms. Psalm 126 was a psalm of deliverance. It said, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion. We went through that. The captives, the people of Israel had been exiled over to Babylon. Babylon had come in and conquered Israel, destroyed the temple, destroyed the city. Everything that could be burnt was burned. And they were over there 70 years. And so it says, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, Zion is Jerusalem, we were like men who dreamed. That even the nation saw it. The nation said, the Lord has done great things for them, for Israel. And then they said, yes, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. So they're coming back. Psalm 127, we were there last week, is a psalm of warning then as they're coming back into Jerusalem. And God says to them, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Right? They had lost track of God's word through disobedience and rebellion, and that's why they ended up in bondage over in Babylon. And so they're coming back, and God's warning them, look, you got to get it right. God has to be the center of the focus of our lives, our homes, of all that we do. Otherwise, it's just in vain what we do. The things we think are so great. Talked about, you know, it's in the news every day, this multimillionaire Jeffrey Epstein, who had mansions around the world, probably naturally speaking, anything anybody could ever want at his disposal. And what does he do with it? If you watch the news, you know. I'm not going to go into the details. Horrible, terrible, terrible things. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. So today, well, first, Psalm 127, here's a blank to fill in your bulletin outline there. Psalm 127, it dealt more with the way that a house should be built, or a family, or a city, or a nation. Dealt more with the way it should happen. Psalm 128, where we're at today, draws a picture of that house as built. The house that is built on God and His Word, the home that is built that way, that's what 128 is dealing with. Adorned with the blessings of God and sealed with His blessing, which we see in verse 5 and 6, that benediction. So I titled, the outline there is a picture of the blessed family. Now I realize not everybody has children. Not everybody can. Things happen, okay? But you are still a family. Through your relation, through your nieces, nephews, however it may be, you are still a family. Not everybody is married. You are still part of a family, okay? So don't take this just, if you're not, it's for you. That's what I'm trying to say. It's for you, a picture of the blessed family. Number one, you've got to have the fear of the Lord in the home. The fear of the Lord, he says it twice in verse 1 and verse 4. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. Verse 4, thus or in this way is the man blessed who fears the Lord. The fear of the Lord needs to be our foundation as we raise our children, as we live in our family lives together. And we'll talk a little, what does that mean? The fear of the Lord, the first definition as it's defined, is a reverential trust in the one true God. Reverential trust in the one true God. The fear of the Lord, I've said this many times, I think most of you know it. The fear of the Lord is not, I'm so scared of God, is He going to pound me over the head? What's He going to do? Is He going to strike me dead? And I hear the saying from time to time, if I'm visiting with people in the community that maybe haven't been to church for a while or maybe don't go, and sometimes they'll say this, well, if I ever came to church, Pastor Mike, lightning would strike the building. And I know they're teasing. I always say, no. You come, let's prove it out, see if lightning strikes the building. It's not going to happen, right? Just because they show up. We all rejoice with everyone that shows up for times of worship. It's that reverential trust in Him, realizing and knowing that He knows best, and we need to honor Him and respect Him. Young people, we have a lot of young families in the church. For those that are visiting today, most of them must be camping this weekend. Come back next Sunday and you'll see the steps piled full up here with kids, which is beautiful. We'll let them camp. Okay. We're blessed in that, aren't we? I see sometimes when kids get into college age and there, sometimes they struggle. I know they're finding their way. Their faith is becoming their own. But I always think of someone, I'll say a middle-aged adult from the congregation, who told me this some years ago. He said, you know what? When I went to college and was in that time frame, yeah, there were times I probably would have just rather slept in. But you know why I went? I went to honor my parents and what they had taught me, how they had led me. That's why I went. At that point in my life, that's where I was at. And I thought, praise the Lord. Of course, as the years goes on, we go because we love the Lord, right? Doesn't matter who's there or not there, we want to be there. So as we instill this fear of the Lord in our homes, in our families, that's part of the fruit of it. The fear of the Lord, there's lots of scriptures in Proverbs and Psalms. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and arrogance. He says it twice there. The fear of the Lord. Another definition there I have, the fear of the Lord must have corresponding action. You got to have the corresponding action of walking in His ways. That's what the verse says. Blessed are all who fear the Lord and walk in His ways. We do it because God says to do it, don't we? Yes. Charles Spurgeon, he was a preacher in the mid-1800s over in London, England. He has written a treasury of the Psalms of David. It's a 3-volume little series that I've been using a lot, and I have two of his quotes in here this morning. This one, it's in your outline. If the heart is joined to God, the feet will follow hard after Him. If the heart is joined to God, the feet will follow hard after Him. True. If Jesus is truly our Lord and Savior, Lord of our life, if we've given our heart to Him, the actions, the feet are going to follow as best as we're able to walk in His ways, aren't they? Nobody's perfect. None of us are, but we try. And we have to teach the fear of the Lord to our children. How's that? Very easy ways. You that are here, you're doing it this morning. Sunday morning, you know what, kids? Sunday morning, no, we don't sleep in. Might get to sleep a little later than on a school day, but we don't just sleep in. We get out of bed, we come to Sunday school, we come to church, and we worship together because we love the Lord. It's taught that way. It's taught by praying. Praying over the meals is the most simple way. Beyond that, having bedtime prayers, reading the scriptures in a children's picture Bible, however it can be. The kids just soak that in like sponges, don't they? That's all teaching the fear of the Lord, and there's many more ways than that. Second, a picture of the blessed family. First, the fear of the Lord. Second, the reward of hard work. Verse 2, what does it say? You will eat or enjoy, as the New Living says, you will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessing and prosperity will be yours. Labor. I thought, oh, cool. That verse ends up here on Labor Day weekend. I didn't plan that. Couldn't have planned it. Wow. You know what God's will is? Work. W-O-R-K. That is God's will for our lives. Trouble is, it's always been. Well, let me read this. Even in the Bible, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Listen to what Paul's writing to the church of Thessalonica 2,000 years ago. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. We sort of lose track of that, right? The entitlements and things. And I hear people say, I can make more money on welfare than I can working. How sad is that? Things are backwards, isn't it? No, it's God's will that we work. Going on with those verses, it says, we hear that some among you are being idle. They are not busy. They're busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. Work. 1 Thessalonians, see, the church must have been having trouble. He says it there. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you. So it's important, the blessed family, and that has to be taught too, doesn't it? In the farming community, the rural community where we live, yeah, it's, I think, most often taught very well to the children. You hear it, I've heard it many times, the East and West Coast, they like the Midwest work ethic. If they can get people hired growing up in the Midwest, rural communities, yeah, they like it. I'm not saying people are lazy on the East and West Coast. I don't mean that at all. But we are known for a strong work ethic here, and it needs to be. From little on with chores, then when they're able to do jobs, making money, I mean, scooping sidewalks, mowing lawns. We don't walk the bean fields anymore, do we? Detasseling corn, they still do that a different way than when I was that age. Many things that are available that have to be taught and modeled by the parents in the home. It's so important, because here's another quote from Spurgeon. The happiest state on earth is one in which we have something to do, the strength to do it, and a fair return for what we have done. That's not scripture. That's Charles H. Spurgeon, okay? A preacher. Because God is not mocked. Galatians 6:8 says, what a man sows, he's also going to reap. For so to the flesh, many things there, laziness, lust of the flesh, all of those things, it says from the flesh we are going to reap destruction. If we sow to the Spirit of God, which we're doing this morning, we reap blessings of eternal life into our lives. Payday's coming. Payday's coming, one way or the other. Third, this picture of the blessed family is the reward of family. Simply that, the reward of family. Verse 3, listen, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. The wife, already in the Garden of Eden, when everything was perfect, God said what? It's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to make a helper for him. And he made Eve, a woman. A woman. From the beginning, a fruitful vine, speaking of fertility, right? Psalm 127, last Sunday, talked about, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them, the children. Within your house, all of these points, within your house, talking about faithfulness in marriage. Yes. Things get crazier, I don't even know if I could say by the year, in regard to sexuality and marriage and all that the world pushes and promotes nowadays. Every couple, if I've married you or am going to marry you, You know the question in the survey, that one of the questions, there's many as we work through this, the question says, sexual fidelity or faithfulness in marriage is, and there's five choices. A, absolutely important. B, very important. C, important. D, optional. E, irrelevant. I have never had a couple that circled anything but absolutely important yet. But I've always said if I ever had someone that circled anything other than absolutely important, why do the wedding? Why do the wedding? But there are people who think it's irrelevant. Can have multiple partners and do all kinds of stuff, swingers and on. How about the olive shoots? What it said, the children, they will be like olive shoots around your table. Listen to this commentary. Well, let me say this first. We went from Psalm 127, where the children are like sharp arrows in the home. We talked about straight arrows as we raise them up to be. They went from arrows to olive shoots, okay? He said olive shoots, not olive branches. There's a difference. Listen, this is a commentary. The aged, decayed olive tree is surrounded by several young, thrifty shoots, which spring from the root of the parent. All right? And if, sorry, I didn't get a picture for you. I did Google it, and if you do Google olive shoots, you can see it. They're not coming up off the side like branches. They're at the base of this big old gnarly olive tree, and they can get big, hundreds of years old. We saw them when we were over there in Israel, in the garden, the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane, where it would have been. Massive tree trunk. I can't even begin to tell you. Now they trim them there, so you don't see, but if nobody would trim them out of the base there, around the roots, there are these olive shoots coming up, which are going to be the next tree, so that legacy, that's an olive tree, there you go, I don't know if there's olive shoots there around the base, but anyway, so these olive shoots, listen to what they do, they seem to uphold, protect, and embrace it. We may even say that they now bear that load of fruit, which otherwise would be demanded of the feeble parent tree. Thus do good and affectionate children gather around the table of the righteous. Each contributes something to the common wealth and welfare of the whole. It's a beautiful sight. The children being raised up to follow in the fear of the Lord themselves. Fourth, as we go to this benediction, it's a spiritual blessing, that's your first blank, that's given, which is a benediction. These last verses, 5 and 6, may the Lord bless you continually, the New Living says. May the Lord bless you continually from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. That is a benediction. What's a benediction? It is an invocation of blessing for divine help, for guidance, for instruction. Of course, at the end of the worship service, right? We have the benediction. Today, when we get to that point, this is going to be our benediction from Psalm 128 right there. It's very similar to the benediction that God told the high priest Aaron and his sons to give over the people of Israel, which I use from time to time as well. Zion, may the Lord bless you from Zion. What's that? That's Jerusalem. I've been telling you in the Old Testament why. Jerusalem, the time when this was written, being lived out, the temple was standing. You had the Holy of Holies back behind the curtain. You had the Ark of the Covenant. You had the mercy seat, the angels over the Ark of the Covenant. You had the Shekinah glory of God filling that place. And that's where the blessings flowed from. Today, We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, aren't we? He lives within us. The blessings flow from within outward if we are God's child, if Jesus lives in us and is our Lord and our Savior. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. That's wonderful, isn't it? There's several within the congregation where it is. Grandparents, children, grandchildren, all worshiping together. If you're fortunate enough to live together, it's so exciting to worship that way. Seeing them grow up into straight arrows and olive trees themselves with fruit being produced. It's a blessing. Peace be upon Israel. He closes it. Two other psalms, we've seen that same phrase. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we still have to do that. So, the blessing of family. This is how it looks. This is how we do it. Together, serving the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, help us to grow in the fear of you, honoring you, taking your word as true. What you have spoken, how we are supposed to live. As we work together in this congregation to bring our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, I thank you for blessing each one here. Each home, each family, each individual, and every part that we have in this, Lord, working together. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our closing hymn, On Christ the Solid Rock We Stand, which is 526. Let's stand as we sing that, please. 526. Joanne. It was beautiful. Please receive the benediction from Psalm 128. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Have a wonderful rest of your Labor Day weekend.